No, turn in your Bible, please, to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. I want to read this morning from verse number 35. Daniel 2, verse number 35. This, as we read this verse, I'm quite certain will appear to many people as an unusual verse, and especially an unusual verse in terms of singling out this particular verse and using this for our context this morning, or our text for the message. But nevertheless, let me read this verse at this time. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit will see fit now to use these lips of clay, this vessel of dust, to somehow bring a message this morning that will exalt the name that's above all other names. And Father, that you will bless now the preaching of the Word of God. If there's someone here today in this service that's never been born again by the grace of God, may they be saved today. Bless us now and help us as we pray, as we preach. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You know, the world today is at war, facing perhaps the most brutal and the most violent enemy that we've ever faced. We're perhaps facing the greatest threat ever for this brand of enemy that we're dealing with has been indoctrinated by satanic forces, which is evidenced by its bloodthirsty approaches. Brainwashed children are trained in viewing actual beheadings and desensitized from seeing the real picture of horror. Its goal is world domination and Sharia law. You may wonder, what is Sharia law? Sharia law, based upon dictionary definition, deals with all aspects of life, day-to-day life, including politics, economics, banking, business, law, contract law, sexuality, and social issues. Sharia law sees every religion as inferior and standing in the way of these Muslim extremists being able to develop its agenda. This enemy is known as ISIS, which references a specific Islamic state which has as its goal absolute Sharia law to include this entire world. We are in horror as we hear and see on television the pictures of captives being beheaded and burned alive by such debased and depraved specimens of human beings. We view the impotent responses of our government with disgust as it puts politics ahead of national defense. And basically, we feel ourselves helpless victims facing potential death at the hands of these religious beasts, these religious or demonic-driven animals behead, they burn, and massacre women and children in the name of Allah. I would remind us this morning that John the Baptist was beheaded by a leader of the Roman Empire, and I would also remind us this morning that a future leader of the Roman Empire, at least a final form of the Roman Empire, will practice beheadings as well. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse number 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Isn't it amazing? A leader of the Roman Empire beheaded John the Baptist. Isn't it amazing that the last head of the Roman Empire will also practice beheadings? I'm talking about the prophetic revived Roman Empire. I'm talking about the Antichrist himself and his policies during the tribulation period. The tribulation saints who refuse to worship the beast will be persecuted, and many of them will be beheaded. Now, many people today are actually wondering, will this world be overrun by Muslims, and particularly this brand of Islam? I want to say this morning emphatically, no. For help will eventually come from God, not government. We can understand that when we read and study the Word of God. The descendants of Isaac will experience global rule under the rulership of their Messiah, which they will accept. It's amazing, isn't it? How accurate the Bible fulfills itself. It's amazing how prophecy after prophecy has already been fulfilled in many, many cases of the Bible. Take, for example, Ishmael. He was destined to be a wild man of the desert. And his progeny would also inherit that same characteristic. I would remind us this morning of Genesis chapter 16, verse number 12, that says, "And he'll be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." We see that lived out today in the descendants of Ishmael, and particularly in the Muslim extremists who are part of ISIS. Now the text. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Again, could I read that text? Verse 35 says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth." You will notice here in this passage of Scripture that a stone becomes the great mountain and fills the earth. You see, the earth will not be controlled by Sharia law, but the theocratic rule of the King of Kings. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is that stone, which I'll say something about in a few minutes. We can rest at ease this morning and understand that the Muslim extremists will not take over this world. Thank God Jesus will rule upon this earth. We find that clearly brought out. I read in Zechariah, "In that day shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." What a blessed hope. This earth, listen to me this morning, this earth is destined to be filled with a mountain, not the Muslim religion. This statement, by the way, and that's what I want to do here this morning, this statement requires some understanding concerning its context, concerning this verse, of course, and this identification of what is the mountain. Let me talk about that for just a few minutes. Understand that historically and prophetically, the world, according to the teachings of Scripture, has known the existence of four major world empires. The book of Daniel identifies them in chapters 2 and 7. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar the king, which Daniel interpreted, had to do with these four world empires, including the revival of the Fourth Roman Empire, or the Fourth Empire, in the latter days, and the control of the little horn or Antichrist over the revived Roman Empire during the tribulation period. Daniel talks about the beast with 10 horns in chapter 7, and the little horn rising to power and controlling the other horns. When we study out prophetic scripture, we understand that the little horn that Daniel is referencing is none other than the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist that scriptures talk about. I'm thinking, for example, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. The Bible says concerning that future prophetic person who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped so that he is God, sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, and they worship the dragon, by the way, that's the devil, which gave power unto the beast, that's the Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months or 3.5 years. In the Bible, prophetic students of Scripture believe this. I'm talking about those that have their eschatology, their theology right. We believe the next event on God's prophetic calendar is a rapture of the church, followed by 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period will be relatively mild, not totally, but relatively. But somewhere during the middle of the tribulation period, of course, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be known, will make himself known after the church is raptured out. He will rise to power. He will be the head over the 10-nation revived Roman Empire Confederacy. But from the middle of the tribulation on, it'll be a terrible time. All hell, so to speak, will break out upon this earth. It'll be a terrible time. The little horn, as it were, will be in control of the world government at that time. Now, let's look at this quickly. I know time is always an issue. Let's look at the metals that make up this image. I've read in this verse here, we can see that this image, we're talking now about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel interpreted. This dream involved an image. The image was head of gold, breast silver, thigh, iron, gold, silver, iron, head of gold, down to the feet, mixture, clay, and iron together. Now, I truly this morning do not want to stand up here and just be a bunch of words rattling off some stuff, and I hope the Lord will see fit today to help us to understand something. That image that Daniel interpreted speaks of the four world empires that have existed. And also to understand, that also speaks of the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar, of course, Babylon control, will run all the way down to when Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation period and establishes the millennium. That's the times of the Gentiles. The head of gold was the Babylonian Empire, followed by the Medes and the Persians, followed by Greece, followed by the Roman Empire. The final form of government, prophetic students believe, will be the Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire, as it were. involving 10-nation confederacy, but yet that Roman Empire will still have basic ingredients in it of all of the previous empires, including what was in Babylon, what was in Medo-Persia, what was in Greece, and the Antichrist will be in control now. So they speak of, verse 35, they speak of Gentile supremacy, the times of the Gentiles, up until the establishment of the kingdom. They also, I think we need to see, speak of the deterioration of civilization. Now think about this morning, gold all the way down to clay. Think about that. Head of gold all the way down to clay. Bible students tell us that when we think of the iron mixed with clay, basically the thought there is a seed of man involved. Now, okay, what got me on this? This past week I had the privilege of teaching up at Bible College in King, and I actually was teaching on Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, and I thought there's so much here that I think God can use to stir us all up. You know that when Nebuchadnezzar ruled, it was an absolute monarchy. Pure government, absolute monarch. He had complete control. Absolute dictator. What Nebuchadnezzar said went. The form of government was an absolute monarchy. He had total control. The next kingdom, empire, Medes Persians. They were subjected to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. It was not an absolute monarchy. Now there's a shift, there's a change in government. Drop on down that image. You get to the feet. Fat, I think, since a mixture of iron and clay, reminding us of men, mankind, reminding us, well, expositors say, the seed of man. In other words, the thought is a democracy. We come all the way down. Down through the pages of human history, starting at that top empire, going all the way down, we have the degradation of government all the way from an absolute monarchy down to a democracy. We have a democracy today, but that's not the best kind of government. What is the democracy? Rule of the people. That's not the best government you can have. Why? Because people do not have the capacity to rule. Listen. We have example after example of one voice that spoke up and changed the course of a law. What about in King recently? This one atheist raised her voice and said, we don't want that statue there. So now there's a big fight. One voice. That's democracy. That's human rule. And that's not the best. Now coming back to this, I must hurry here. We come down to the fourth empire. Look at verse number 41. I know this is kind of heavy today, but hey, let's note this. Verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with clay. Now, so, those four empires, and this image reminds us of the deterioration of human government. The deterioration of human government. Do you know that when Christ comes back and the church goes out and the tribulation occurs upon this earth, when this Roman Empire is revived, there will be corruption such as there's never been. Now, you know, Revelation chapter 17 talks about the harlot, doesn't it, being overthrown, the harlot church. Revelation 18 talks about the city of Babylon. Revelation 17, we have ecclesiastical Babylon, which will be the state of religion during the tribulation. And then Revelation chapter 18, we have the overthrow of the city of Babylon itself. Why am I saying that? I believe that when the church goes out during the tribulation period, this old harlot church, as it were, the conglomeration of all the religions of the world, will have their heyday for a while. But the Antichrist will throw that off a little bit later on. But my friend, do not forget the fact that if you go back and look at Babylon and Nimrod and his efforts at that time, you'll find that one of the most debased form of religion was instituted, namely the worship of Mariolatry, the worship of the mother, and so forth. And could I also say this morning that that has been permeated into the religion called Catholicism? And I personally believe that Catholicism will play, as far as that religious system, will play into the tribulation state of religion at that time before Christ comes back. In fact, Roman Catholicism began in the 4th century AD and it's a Christianized form of ancient Babylonian idolatry. It's the oldest religion that there is. But understand something, that this city, Babylon, will be rebuilt, I think. But God is going to destroy the religion and the city of Babylon itself. But now, what's the point? And here's where I'm really wanting to get to, the final moments that I've got left, because now's where we get on a little bit of some shouting ground here. I know I've bored you to death up until now. Hopefully this won't bore you too much. Look at the verse. I'll try to pull it together and we'll go home. The Bible says this, "The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Could I say this morning, Christ is coming back? Could I say this morning, there will be the rule of Jesus Christ upon this earth? Could I say this morning that the governments of men will fail? Babylon failed. Medo Persia failed. Greece failed. And the final form of Rome will fall. But Christ is coming back. There may have been a deterioration from that head of gold all the way down to the feet of iron and clay. But I'll tell you, when Jesus rules upon this earth, it'll be a perfect theocracy. Because He will be the potentate upon this earth. You say, "Preacher, what about that stone you're talking about here?" That stone is Christ. That stone is Christ. That stone is Christ, who was the smitten rock. Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 6, "Behold, I'll stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." That stone that comes back to this earth is none other than the smitten rock. The one who was smitten on Calvary. The one who shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. The smitten rock. He is the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Yet, yes, thank God, because He was smitten on Calvary, the precious life-giving flow of spiritual life and the Spirit of God comes in. And water does indeed come out of that rock. That stone that's coming back to this earth, that'll fill this whole earth, namely the rule and reign of Christ upon this earth for 1,000 years, is none other than the smitten rock Himself. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You will know what the stone is. It's coming back. The stone is Christ. That's the same stone which the builders rejected. Which the builders rejected. Psalm 118:22 says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." Psalm 118:22. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus saith unto them, let me move this up. "Did you ever read in the Scriptures a stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? That is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes." That stone that's coming back to this earth was a stone which the builders rejected. That stone that's coming back to this earth is a chief stone of the church, the foundation stone of the church itself, the chief cornerstone. Bible says, Matthew 21:42, "Jesus saith unto them, Did you ever read in the Scriptures a stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Now, what's going to happen? The smiting is going to take place, I believe. The stone comes back smiting. In other words, the Lord's coming back, going to judge this earth. And then the kingdom will take place upon this earth. Now, here's my closing point. ISIS will not take over this world. King Jesus will. Now, I would say this in closing. Never since the time that Noah stepped off the ark and the new world life began has there ever been such a development of events and earth characteristics that signal the soon return of Christ any more than what we've seen. What do we see? Apostasy in the churches, moral bankruptcy across the land, and unrest in the Middle East. Most people, even in good churches, are driven more by self than the Holy Spirit. Listen, we don't know this morning when the rapture is going to take place. We might only be on the ice, on the tip of the iceberg in terms of how bad things could really get. But thank God, I'm glad to know this, though. I'm thankful that in spite of what we hear on the news, reading the newspapers, and hear about the threat of ISIS, mark it down on your little book, they will not control this earth. Because the rock becomes a mountain, and the mountain is what covers this earth. Christ is coming back. He will rule. And I'll tell you, when the Lord comes back, this earth is going to finally have a perfect government then. Perfect then. Peace in the animal kingdom. Mankind will get along finally. And the Lord Himself will rule and reign upon this planet earth. And there will be peace, peace for a change. And it'll cover this earth like the waters and the sand cover the area. Now, I'm saying in closing today, if there's ever been a time that people need to get on the ark and get saved, it's now. If there's ever been a time that God's people need to get totally sold out to Jesus Christ, it's now. We're living in exciting days. But I think we're getting closer and closer and closer to the sounding of that trumpet. We're hearing a lot about Israel, aren't we? We're hearing a lot about unrest in the Middle East. My friend, look up, because He's coming back. But my question to you this morning is this. Do you know today, without a shadow of a doubt, you've been saved by the grace of God? And then as a Christian, it's time that we really sell out to Him, because accountability time is coming sooner than we realize at the judgment seat of Christ. So that stone is coming back. That's our hope. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.